1290 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Russia is blaming Ukraine for the suburban Moscow concert hall massacre, for which an Islamic State offshoot is claiming responsibility. Russia also denying that the U.S. warned it about an impending attack weeks ago.
Hundreds lining up to pay tribute at a growing makeshift memorial, laying down flowers, and President Putin lighting a candle in memory of the victims of that horrific concert hall attack on Friday. Russia says it arrested all four of the gunmen and seven alleged accomplices, saying four of them have now been charged with committing a terrorist act, and that two suspects have admitted their guilt.
ABC's Lama Hassan. North Korea announced that Japan's Prime Minister Kishida has proposed a summit with Kim Jong-un. It would be the two countries' first summit in about 20 years. Baseball superstar Shohei Ohtani plans to address reporters on Monday about allegations of illegal gambling and theft involving his translator. This is ABC News. In the coming week, the Senate will take up the House-passed bill requiring TikTok's Chinese owner to sell or face being banned in the U.S. Vice President Harris says the administration aims to prevent China's government from collecting data on TikTok's millions of U.S. users.
It's an income generator for many people. What it does in terms of allowing people to share information in a free way and a way that allows people to have discourse is very important. But we do have concerns about the national security implications of the owner of TikTok, and that has been our position in terms of what I think we need to do to address those concerns.
The vice president on ABC's This Week broadcast. If it's clear where you are, take a look at the sky. A lunar eclipse going on right now that will dim the moon slightly over the next couple of hours. Of course, the once-in-a-generation total solar eclipse that will be visible across much of the United States happens on April 8th. I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
The Todd Allbush Show.
I love me some Drew Holiday. My favorite Buck. I love what he's doing. I just really, really wish it wasn't for the Boston Celtics. My loyalty is still more to Giannis. But, like, when Drew scores a bucket still, I'm like, yeah.
I'm like to a former
Drew.
Lover.
I got a Drew Holiday jersey, a Bucks jersey, and I got an Aaron Jones Packers jersey.
This is
so
why
I'm a scoring former lover for both of those players.
The Todd Allbush Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Mino on the mayor and the mayor on a Thursday.
Wait a minute. That's a whole other show.
He's been on my case.
Delete
all
that
whole.
One.
Oh, my goodness.
This is a family show.
I know.
He's not that. He's just been on my case.
It'll be the only show in history that didn't have one listener.
Mino and the mayor. Weekday morning, 6 till 9 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
And on the Civic Media app.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin's Republican U.S. Representative Mike Gallagher is resigning. His last day in Congress will be April 19th. Gallagher told the Journal Sentinel that he plans to enter the private sector and spend more time with his family. Due to the timing of his resignation, no special election will be held, and the seat will remain vacant until voters decide on his replacement in November. Governor Tony Evers signed another 44 bills into law on Friday. Among them is a bill that makes it a felony for school staff members to commit an act of sexual misconduct against a student. That includes any verbal or physical conduct that could be considered sexual in nature. Evers said that he's happy to sign the bill, but isn't happy that the bill is needed. Another bill signed into law further restricts strip searches of students by school officials. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
It's the Bucks against the Thunder. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. A special night tonight at the Bucks game. It's the Women's Empowerment Game, honoring career women in the workplace. Head coach Doc Rivers.
I just think women in sports is important in society. There's so many stats behind that. You know, Fortune 500 companies are run by a lot of women who were in sports. Actually, the majority of those women were in sports in some way, really important. Not just as a player. I'm saying as a student manager, as a reporter. It's just really important. The self-confidence. I mean, all those stats say that when you're involved in sports and you're a woman, there's there's less abuse, there's less everything. It's good that we're doing that. It's good that the league is doing that. You know, it reminds me a lot of, you know, when I first started coaching, a black young coach. And now they just say a young coach. Hopefully someday we get to that point.
That's the Bucks, Doc Rivers. From Five Serve Forum, I'm Mike Clemens.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, rain and snow. We'll see a low around 33, east winds gusting 25 to 30 miles per hour. All rain for your Monday, a high around 46, still blustery. Rain Monday night with a low around 45. And rain for Tuesday, breezy 56. Right now, 35.
Monday on Matt Maher On Air, we talk school board elections and the good, the bad, and oh, please make it stop. Don't miss it.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning, and the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Jane says, good morning. Welcome to Matt Maher On Air. Jane Matt Maher, Greg Buck, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio in a snowy downtown Waukesha. You can always join the show. Call or text at 855-75-CIVIC or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Busy, busy show coming up today. Greg Buck, Dan Schaefer is going to be here at 10:33. We will recombobulate with Dan Schaefer, and I'm pretty sure we're going to talk about the two referendums that are going to be on the April 2nd ballot. We've had a lot of questions about that. We are going to be talking to someone from the League of Women Voters. That's going to be next Tuesday. But Dan Schaefer coming up at 10:33, so stay close for that. Right now, though, you know what time it is?
What time is it, Jane?
We are riding into spring, Greg Buck.
Are we?
Yes, maybe not today.
Okay.
But it's our Ride into Spring Text to Win statewide contest. And so this hour, you have a special word. And the word you want to text once you download the Civic Media app. So just go to your app store, download the Civic Media app.
Good.
And then you go to whatever station you're listening to across Wisconsin, whether it's Oshkosh or you're in Hayward or Richland Center or here in Waukesha, Racine. Go to your station and text this word. The word this hour is SCORE. S-C-O-R-E. The word is SCORE. So text that word in on the Civic Media app, and you are in the running for an overnight stay at the Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells. We have four winners a day, and then everybody who enters, including the winners, have a shot at one of two grand prizes, including brand new bicycles, a 3-in-1 blender, and an outdoor patio love seat.
I want to win two of those three prizes.
You can't.
I know.
We can't win those.
But, I know.
But you can. You have until 11 o'clock to text the word SCORE, S-C-O-R-E, on the Civic Media app, and you will be in the running. You only have to do that once an hour. Your next chance will be in the 1 o'clock hour with Todd Alba and then the 3 p.m. hour with Maggie Dawn.
Just as a reiteration to those, because we just got one coming in, whomever texted from the 4141, you have to text through the Civic Media app to enter the contest.
Right.
And you have to get the right word. So the word is SCORE, S-C-O-R-E, SCORE.
What was the text?
Four, as in golf.
Not four.
Not
score.
Four, SCORE. We
four,
got
four score and 7 years ago.
It was snowing probably like this.
Speaking of WISN reporting, our snowfall totals as of 8 o'clock this morning. Waukesha already at 8 a.m. had 6.4 inches. Fort Atkinson with 6.3. Same at the Milwaukee Airport. Mitchell International, 6.3. Oconomowoc, 5.2. Jefferson, 5. West Bend, 5. Saukville, 5. Brookfield, 4.9. Germantown, 3. Plymouth, 2.5. Heartland, you just got a little kiss there in Heartland, 2 inches. So Waukesha is kind of in the lead right now. Yay us.
Did you say which Kenosha was? Kenosha, like rain.
They did not list Kenosha. Because you said when you got up at 4, it wasn't that bad.
When I got up this morning, it was raining. There was a dusting. There's been some accumulation now. We just saw it on our Ring camera.
Right.
But nothing compared to what we have in Waukesha.
And we're not quite done yet. It's still coming down out here in Waukesha. And another reminder to you as well to check out that 511wi.gov site.
Yes.
It's really, really useful having it. Shows you every accident all across the state of Wisconsin. You can zoom in. You can look at the traffic cameras. You can see where all the closures are. I'm looking at the map right now. It's much better than it was when I first got in about 7:30 this morning. But still, there are a bunch of accidents around the Milwaukee area, Racine, Waukesha, also in Madison, the Madison area. Rest of the state is not looking too bad as far as the roads go. But just be careful if you have to go out, get out, especially around southeastern Wisconsin. It was a mess this morning. It took me an hour.
It was absolutely terrible. And folks, 511wi.gov. Jane's looking at it on her computer right now. I'm looking at it on my phone because it is a handy dandy app as well. Free to use, of course. So get that into your pocket. It's very, very helpful. Yeah, when I came in this morning, I told you this. When I came in, Kenosha was, there was nothing happening in Kenosha. Racine was starting to pick up. Milwaukee, the plows were out, and they hit the Beloit exit at 894 that leads you into Waukesha County, and they stopped and moved into the lanes over to go back into Milwaukee. I'm sure they're Milwaukee County, so that makes sense. But from that moment to driving here, nothing was plowed. Nothing was done. It was a disaster.
And you can't see any road lanes. You can't see the lane markers that way.
Nope. And I'm driving in backcountry roads to get here, and it was. I mean, you know, I'm driving 35 miles an hour in a 50, and people are right behind me. Like, you can
wait all day.
Yep, we'll get there eventually, folks.
Yep. All right. So please be careful as you are out and about today. Yes. The snow should be wrapping up hopefully by what, 2 o'clock?
Around 2 o'clock. Yes.
We will let you know if we see any major accidents or anything like that. If that pops up, we're going to start off though with our favorite House Speaker, Assembly Speaker, rather. Robin Voss.
Robin of Voss. First in his name.
yesterday, Robin Voss filed a recall signature challenge with the Wisconsin Elections Commission. The challenge claims that although organizers of this recall effort against him submitted over 10,000 signatures, the commission itself had an initial finding that only about 6,000 of those came from the previous 63rd Assembly District under the old maps.
Yeah.
So Robin says the recall petitions were also plagued with fraud and criminality. As to the circulators, several have felony convictions. Names were forged on signature pages, including those of children. Addresses could not be verified, according to Robin Voss's attorney. Turning to the signers, hundreds of them signed multiple times, used illegible writing, or provided incomplete address information. His challenge says the entire recall effort must be rejected for legal reasons because the Wisconsin Supreme Court struck down the GOP voting maps as unconstitutional.
Hmm.
As a result, a recall cannot occur in the district that's listed on the petitions. And Robin says he remains proud to represent Racine County, and he's grateful the community, quote, continues to stand behind me and my record.
I mean, you'll find a way to use some maps to do this if it went through. I don't think it should be struck down completely because there are no maps. I think every single illegitimate name should be taken off of the recall forms, and then you count them again, and then you go from there. If they don't have enough, then the recall doesn't go through. But to add cherries and whipped cream onto all of this malarkey,
good word.
Yeah, I mean, it shouldn't be thrown out for any other reason than it's not a credibly executed recall effort. So after that, no, you don't get to maps shouldn't be taken into consideration. If it goes through, then we figure out the maps, whether we use the new maps or we use the old maps, because that's where you're elected. But come on, Robin.
The petitioners do have a chance to respond to these allegations. The Wisconsin Elections Commission has to eventually vote on whether or not to order the recall. This is the culmination of former President Trump and his supporters turning on Voss for allegedly not doing more to support the big lie that the 2020 election was stolen.
You know, I'm sure we'll talk about this before it's finally over, no matter the outcome. Are there any other statewide leaders in the country facing recalls because of their inability, quote unquote, to make the 2020 election, to nullify those votes?
Not that I'm aware of. There have certainly been a number of them who have been threatened and, you know,
yeah,
their family members threatened, terrible things.
Yes.
But I think Robin, he's a soul. He gets to claim this all for his own. It's just about you, Robin. And Calvin, if we have that little clip about how Robin Voss feels about the people who are trying to recall him, let's just have a little reminder of this.
The people who organize this are so out of touch with reality. And I'm just going to keep saying it over and over again. They are morons. They are stupid.
These are Trump supporters.
Yeah.
That filed this recall petition.
Correct.
So is he referring to those people as morons and whack jobs?
And stupid, yes. Yes, he is.
Trump supporters.
Yes. Well, I'll bet you any amount of money if you put Robin in a room, he'd clarify that and say, not all Trump supporters, the ones who are a part of this movement. But I don't see a lot of these individuals. I mean, I don't know any liberals in that area who are part of this effort. Everyone's like, nope, this isn't my... This is all your baby. This is your circus.
This is your baby.
Yeah.
Robin Voss has repeatedly called a recall a waste of time and resources. Well, if there's anything Robin knows, it is about wasting resources. We should probably take his word on that.
I mean, I totally agree with him on this one. I completely agree.
Let's not forget, Robin Voss spent $2 million of taxpayer money hiring Michael Gableman to go attend conferences with the MyPillow guy, traveling all over the place, never found any evidence of election fraud. Sorry.
Went on record many times saying the 2020 election was safe, fair, and decided.
Quote, the people who organized this are so out of touch with reality, Robin Voss says. These people do not deserve the respect that anybody gave them. The challenge says one woman from Burlington said she was approached by two men in a parking lot who asked her if she'd sign a petition supporting women's rights.
Wow.
The men prevented her from getting into her vehicle and told her she couldn't get in unless she signed the petition.
Oh, I want those two men arrested.
That seems illegal.
Yeah, that seems like coercion. That seems like something should be investigated by a police officer.
An affidavit from another man from Burlington alleges, quote, he witnessed a recall circulator telling bar patrons he was collecting signatures to allow Donald Trump to appear on the presidential ballot. It is a felony for a circulator to fraudulently procure signatures by misrepresenting the nature of the recall petition.
I mean, I just...
And just on the flip side, I have gotten some emails from some of the people involved, maybe peripherally, with this recall election. And now they're calling Robin Voss Robin CCP Voss. Because now he's apparently aligned with the Chinese Communist Party.
Oh, man. That's so funny. That's so, so funny. That's so dumb. So dumb.
Oh, whack jobs and morons. All right. Yes. They are coming for it. They're coming for your Social Security. We'll kick that around next. Stay close. You're watching and listening to Matt Mayer on air on the Civic Media Radio Network. She can't hurt. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Are record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With inflation rising at record levels and incomes not keeping pace, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596. That's 800-506-5596. Or visit www.heat.help.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Call or text, join the show at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, or the platform that Elon has ruined. Just a reminder, it is our Text Into Spring statewide contest. You have until 11 o'clock this hour to text the word SCORE, S-C-O-R-E. Text the word SCORE from the Civic Media app. Go to whatever station you're listening to across the state, WISS, for example, and then text the word SCORE to that, and you will be entered in the contest. Could win an overnight stay at Chula Vista Resort and then be in the running for one of two grand prizes, including new bicycles and a fancy schmancy blender.
Or an oven.
Nice things.
Oh, it's a three and a.
It's a 3-in-1 blender.
A 3-in-1
blender. And then an outdoor patio love seat. So you have until 11 o'clock to text that in. S-C-O-R-E is the word for this hour. Yeah, they're coming for your Social Security. The budget released Wednesday by the Republican Study Committee that includes more than 170 House GOP lawmakers. And I believe I heard Pat Kreitlow single out our Wisconsin lawmakers, including Tom Tiffany, mm-hmm. Brian Stile.
Yes.
Scott Fitzgerald.
Yes.
And I'm forgetting one.
Was it Van Orden?
Oh, no, I don't think it was Van Orden.
It wasn't
Van Orden.
Who's one?
Grothman.
Grothman. It was Grothman.
So they are part of this group who want to essentially, again, they're going to cut Social Security. The budget endorses a bunch of bills which are designed to advance the cause of life. This includes the Life at Conception Act, which will aggressively restrict abortion and potentially threaten in vitro fertilization. So again, when they say that they're not going to do that, yes, they are.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they are. For Social Security, the budget endorses modest adjustments to the retirement age for future retirees to account for increases in life expectancy. It calls for lowering benefits for the highest earning beneficiaries. And it emphasizes these are not designed to take effect immediately. Well, of course not, because they want to get reelected.
Mm-hmm.
The RSC budget does not cut or delay retirement benefits for any senior in or near retirement. Just, again, jumping our way back machine to the State of the Union address, which was all of, what, 2 weeks ago? Two or 3 weeks ago. And President Biden mentioned this during his State of the Union address. Calvin, let's hear that clip.
Tonight, let's all agree once again to stand up for seniors. Many of my friends on the other side of aisle want to put Social Security on the chopping block. If anyone here tries to cut Social Security, Medicare, or raise the retirement age, I will stop you. The working people who built this country pay more into Social Security than millionaires and billionaires do. It's not fair. We have two ways to go. Republicans can cut Social Security and give more tax breaks to the wealthy. That's the proposal. Oh, no. You guys don't want another $2 trillion tax cut? I kind of thought that's what your plan was. Well, that's good to hear. You're not going to cut another $2 trillion for the super wealthy. That's good to hear. I'll protect and strengthen Social Security and make the wealthy pay their fair share.
Yeah, and just a reminder that as I was downloading this clip this morning, as he said, Republicans are coming for, you know, your Social Security, and they're all in there shaking their heads. No, 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 we're not going to do that. Yeah, 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 yeah. You are, and you've always wanted to.
The back of their heads, they were like, how do you know? You know, really quick, we're protecting seniors, but don't forget people my age in their 40s.
Yep.
I want to protect me too. I said it before. I've been paying into Social Security since I was 12.
And if you're a Medicare recipient, this should also concern you. This new budget calls for converting Medicare to a premium support model, which is something that former Speaker Paul Ryan was a big champion of. Under this new plan by, again, the 170 House Republicans, the Republican Study Committee, under the new plan, traditional Medicare would compete with private plans, and beneficiaries would be given subsidies to shop for the policies of their choice. I don't know a great deal about this. That sounds like a really bad idea to me.
Yeah. It goes along like the whole health savings account. We put it in your hands.
Right.
We take it. We're done with it. We're going to put it in your hands. So it's your fault if it fails. No, this was a commitment. This was a promise from the government from nearly 100 years ago. Now we're going on. It's like 80 plus years. We've been paying into it. That's my money.
Yes.
And I'm owed it. I'm not, it's not an entitlement. It's my investment. And if it's gone, let me know what lawyer I can hire to sue the government for wasting my money.
Even MAGA Republican Josh Hawley of Missouri said, quote, what a terrible idea. If Republicans want to be in the minority party forever, then go ahead and endorse that. Republicans are so stupid. If they want to go to working people and say, congratulations, you have paid into this your whole life, your payroll taxes, and now we're going to take part of it away from you. We're going to make you work even longer than we said beforehand. Again, this is Josh Hawley, Republican from Missouri. I just think it's the stupidest thing I ever heard.
What? Why is it that Republican senators seem to get it more than congressmen? Like, congressmen tend to do these things that seem very short-sighted, that seem very
not well thought of,
like get-rich-quick schemes. Like, yeah, we're going to do this. And then the senators in the same party are like, what are you doing, you dumb-dumb babies?
The other thing this targets is the Affordable Care Act.
Of course.
And they've been wanting to kill that since it passed. And again, memory lane, my friends. Donald Trump promised, we're going to get rid of Obamacare, we're going to kill it, and replace it with something so much better. So much better. And it never happened.
Never happened. It's coming.
Just like the infrastructure plan.
Yep, it's
coming. That was always 2 weeks away.
I wonder if Trump is still being audited, too.
That's a really good question.
He's always being audited.
Well, and that's why he could never release his taxes.
Exactly. Being audited, people.
If you ever want to join us, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Again, the word to text in to your station via the Civic Media app this hour is SCORE, S-C-O-R-E. Dan Schaefer will be here to recombobulate right after the news. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Russia is blaming Ukraine for the suburban Moscow concert hall massacre for which an Islamic State offshoot is claiming responsibility. Russia also denying that the U.S. warned it about an impending attack weeks ago.
Hundreds lining up to pay tribute at a growing makeshift memorial, laying down flowers, and President Putin lighting a candle in memory of the victims of that horrific concert hall attack on Friday. Russia says it arrested all four of the gunmen and seven alleged accomplices, saying four of them have now been charged with committing a terrorist act and that two suspects have admitted their guilt.
ABC's Lama Hassan. North Korea announced that Japan's Prime Minister Kishida has proposed a summit with Kim Jong-un. It would be the two countries' first summit in about 20 years. Baseball superstar Shohei Ohtani plans to address reporters on Monday about allegations of illegal gambling and theft involving his translator. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
4 Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Prosecutors in three Wisconsin counties say they won't pursue felony charges of campaign finance violations against former President Donald Trump's fundraising committee and Republican State Representative Janelle Branchen related to the effort to unseat Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. The prosecutors say their own involvement in Republican politics creates a conflict of interest. Wisconsin voters have their say on two proposed amendments to the state constitution on April 2nd. One of them would ban private donations to local election offices. Sam Lieber is with the group All Voting is Local. He says private money isn't the problem.
I think the real question and the real issue at hand is, why are our elections and their administrators underfunded?
The other question would specify who can legally serve as a poll worker in Wisconsin. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
You know, I hope this is the best hour of your life. I'll tell you that. The Cripes Cast, folks.
My conversation with Taylor Kalmus, a.k.a. Dude Dad.
When you go to the movies and you get to the last climactic scene, you're not just like, oh, you know what would be fun? Let's leave. Let's finish this movie in the parking lot. You guys don't know what I'm talking about, do you?
I think he's talking about...
Let's pull out of this movie theater.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, rain and snow. We'll see a low around 33, east winds gusting 25 to 30 miles per hour. All rain for your Monday, a high around 46, still blustery. Rain Monday night with a low around 45. And rain for Tuesday, breezy 56.
Right now, it's 37.
Being blind doesn't always look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support and where I can be seen.
Innovative research, educational resources, supportive community. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is leading the charge in finding treatments and cures for blinding diseases. Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
If it seems you are being asked to donate pretty often these days, Lisa Schiller with the Wisconsin Better Business Bureau says you probably are, and she's hearing from residents about it.
They're getting aggressive calls. They're getting mailers in the mail asking for donations, and they want to know where their money is going.
Schiller says ask questions and understand the difference between a political action committee 527 and a nonprofit charity.
You have to really pay attention to name confusion, the use of the words police and firefighter, veterans, cancer. The name of the organization does not necessarily mean that the charity is engaged in these issues, and I think that's the important thing to remember.
Find more information at BBB.org. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B on the board. Thank you so very much for joining us. You can always join the conversation. Call or text at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon has ruined. As he does every Friday at this time, we are joined by the award-winning author of The Recombobulation Area. Dan Schaefer is here. Good morning, Dan. How are you doing? How's the snow situation in downtown Milwaukee?
Yeah. Good morning, Jane. Always happy to be with you. Just shoveled out. Didn't get up early to do it. Just decided to take the day as it comes. And my daughter is snowed in from her daycare today, so she helped me shovel out too. So there we go.
How old is your daughter?
The youngest is with me. She's three.
She's three. So, I'm sure she was an enormous help to Daddy.
She did most of the work. Yeah, that's right.
Your most recent column on the recombobulation area, and we've had a lot of questions about this, Dan, and I'm glad you're here to talk about this. We're also going to have someone here next week on Tuesday from the League of Women Voters. But there's a lot of questions about these two referendum that are going to be on the April 2nd ballot and what this means and why they want to do this and what this would do. So which one would you like to start with?
Yeah, we can start with the first one. I think the first one is the one that, you know, I had most of my focus in the column that I wrote on the recombobulation at the recombobulation area about this. But the question being asked on these ballot referendum questions that would amend the state constitution. So I think that needs to be made a little bit more clear in this process. These are not just like a thumbs up or thumbs down on a certain policy or whatever. These would amend the state constitution. So the first question has to deal with the use of private funds, quote unquote, private funds in election administration. And I think on the surface, you know, it might be a question that people might say yes to. It said, we don't want to have private funds in an election administration. We should commit public dollars to this. But once you examine the context of all of this and examine the larger issue, it's pretty clear that this is just an effort by the state Republican Party to appease election deniers who have glommed on to this conspiracy theory that they call Zuckerbucks about the 2020 presidential election. And I really don't think we should be amending the state constitution to appease people who are obsessed with something called Zuckerbucks. And so as I wrote, the way I kind of characterized this in my piece is that this is good in theory, bad in practice, and worse in process. And so in theory, it's good to ban private dollars. I think I might even agree with that, but I don't think the way that this has happened is the right way to do things. So a couple of years ago, in the wake of 2020, Republicans passed this bill that would do the same, that it would ban, you know, quote unquote, private funds for election administration. And this was after in 2020, a nonprofit organization that was funded by Mark Zuckerberg, right, and his wife sent a bunch of dollars to local governments across the state, more than 35 counties in the state of Wisconsin participated in this, more than 100 municipalities participated in this, but because the majority of the dollars went to, you know, the highest population cities in the state of Wisconsin, Republicans said, oh, these are just like Democrat turnout, whatever nonsense, to impact the election results. And as we've known, all of these 2020 conspiracy theories, they are nonsense and been endlessly debunked. Republicans tried to ban this in a bill. The bill got no Democratic support and it was vetoed by Governor Evers. So instead of, you know, going back to the drawing board,
Now they're just going to go around it, right?
Right. Like, so instead of trying to do this in a bipartisan way, what they did was use, you know, a mechanism in the state constitution that allows for these ballot questions. So they passed this measure in successive legislative sessions and put it on the ballot for the spring election, thinking that this might be a competitive presidential election primary, and you'd get more Republican voters to the polls, activate that base that is so still so obsessed with the 2020 presidential election, and use this to amend the Constitution, which is a pretty ridiculous way to operate. You know, one of the people that I quoted talking to in this story was saying that, you know, the legislature should not be in the practice of amending the Constitution every time they can't pass a bill. That's a quote from Sam Liebert, the state director for All Voting is Local. And I think that's a pretty good way of putting it. You know, this is, you know, this is a really bad referendum question, and it's just sets a really bad precedent for how we govern in the state of Wisconsin.
Dan Schaefer is our guest from the recombobulation area, and we're talking about the two referendum that are going to be showing up on the ballot if you live in Wisconsin on April 2nd. And the first one is about this use of private funds to administer elections. Dan, can we talk more specifically about what that money was used for? I mean, were they just going out and buying people? What is the big accusation here?
Yeah, I mean, the main, you know, the main use of these funds from the nonprofit organization funded by Mark Zuckerberg and his wife, they went to help local municipalities administer the election during the COVID-19 pandemic. So this meant things like PPE and any extra things that we had. You know, if we think back to 2020, there were so many different things that we needed to run an election a little bit differently than we had in the past. We were not always very safe to go out at the, you know,
you make a really good point though, Dan, because I think people forget a lot of poll workers elected not to work that election because so many of them were elderly with their health at risk.
Right. Right. And this is, you know, and so I think, you know, could we have taken action in the state of Wisconsin to properly publicly fund these elections? Yeah, that's what we should have done in 2020. But you know what? Our state legislators took 300 days from doing anything. So we didn't get any reforms passed that could have actually helped election workers. And that's part of why this is bad in process too, because let's say this passes, and this is a very confusingly worded, you know, question. And I think that's intentional. And I think like last year, when there were similarly confusing referendum questions on the spring election ballot advanced by Republicans, you know, even though Jana Protasiewicz won a double digit victory, these ballot referendums that were advanced by Republicans also passed with pretty overwhelming majorities. And so if this passes, local governments that administer elections in the state of Wisconsin, they don't get any extra funding to do this. So, you know, they may have been relying on the funding from nonprofits, and you know, every nonprofit has to abide by the laws of the state of Wisconsin, or else they're going to be prosecuted. And that's what has been endlessly proven to be what has happened. So, you know, I think this is also bad in practice too, because if you remove this without taking action, simultaneous action to publicly fund election administration, you're going to have additional problems with that. And so it's going to take longer for poll workers to process those ballots. And we're going to get even deeper into the night, you know, to get those results from various municipalities around the state. It's such a bad process for this, in addition to being, you know, something confusing and just not going through the traditional channels to make this actual change.
You know, one of the things with regard to that bill about counting votes early, I mentioned it before that, you know, on election night, there's going to be all these people saying, why can't we do this? Why can't we do this? I can't wait for someone or everyone or all the news people to say, we had the chance.
Yes.
They didn't do it. It passed in the assembly and then it stopped in the Senate for whatever reason. Yeah. And now here we are.
Well, it sort of makes one feel like they don't really want a whole bunch of people to vote. Seems counterintuitive for a democratic republic. I just, you know, that just makes one question things a little bit.
Yeah.
Now,
I don't know about you, but I tend to I think democracy is good and more people should vote.
I'm a fan.
I think we're all kind of fans here on the democracy train. So the second question, election officials, shall Section 7.2 of Article 3 be created to provide that only election officials designated by law may perform tasks in the conduct of primaries, elections, and referendums. What does that mean?
Yeah, so this centers around another election 2020 election conspiracy theory advanced by Republicans. Again, we should not be using 2020 election conspiracy theories to rewrite our state constitution.
I would go and say we should use no conspiracy theories.
Maybe, yeah. Oh, Greg. So this is a conspiracy theory having to do with a consultant in Green Bay that worked with that nonprofit that was funded by the Zuckerberg family. And he was, you know, additional reviews and reports and analysis or whatever has shown that the city of Green Bay, where this consultant was working, handled their election properly. You know, it's just yet another on the list of ridiculous 2020 things. But this would really open up. There was a good piece from a publication called Bolts online that looks into a lot of, you know, nuts and bolts of election and democracy work happening across the country. But I think this would really open up for a lot of lawsuits and a lot of changes. And I think, again, it's part of the same thing. We should vote no on both of these ballot referendum questions, because we should not be amending our state constitution to appease election deniers if there is a path to making a change here. And look, I might agree with you saying that we should get private dollars out of election administration, but the way to do that is in the legislature. And the way to do that is by passing a bill. And the way to do that is by passing a bipartisan bill. So
and that's not going to happen.
Well, it could. I mean, flip the assembly this fall. Maybe we could, have a different environment in the state legislature for overall passing of legislation. I think we can have these conversations. They were able to get a bipartisan bill passed in the assembly to get the absentee ballot count changed. I think we could. You know, we could take steps forward with this too.
Yeah. Kevin, do we still have that clip of Robin Voss available? I just want to remind folks exactly what Robin Voss thinks about people who believe that the 2020 election was stolen, just as a little reminder.
The people who organize this are so out of touch with reality. And I'm just going to keep saying it over and over again. They are morons. They are stupid.
But the way he says stupid.
Stupid, but he loves you. And just, he needs your vote. So anyway, just.
They're stupid.
I think too, and as you said too, Dan, and I absolutely agree with you, these referendum, when they're intentionally murky, they are intentionally written to be confusing or worded so that people will be voting against their own best interest. There's got to be a special group of people who sits down and writes these things.
Lawyers.
Oh, yeah.
A special kind of lawyer, though, who can sit down and say, how can we write this so it's as confusing as humanly possible?
Yeah, I'm sure there are lawyers from certain institutes involved in the crafting of this.
I could hazard a guess. I think maybe not.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. We're going to talk a little basketball when we return. I do want to remind you, you have until 11 o'clock to download the Civic Media app. Go to your app store, download the Civic Media app, and then go to whatever station you're listening to across the state, whether you're in Hayward or Oshkosh or Richland Center or Amory. And then you text to that station the word SCORE, S-C-O-R-E. Text the word SCORE, and you are in the running for an overnight stay at the Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells. And then everybody who wins and everybody who enters has a shot at one of our two grand prizes, including new bicycles, a 3-in-1 blender, and an outdoor patio love seat. Text the word SCORE via the Civic Media app by 11 o'clock. S-C-O-R-E. Stay close. Dan Schaefer will continue recombobulating on Matt and Air on Air. You're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hoping for a relaxing weekend. Once I get strapped in the 210. Wheels up and we'll be rocking. Getting out of frozen Wisconsin. I need you to recombobulate me. I want you to recombobulate.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this Civic Media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of Civic Media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
For the longest time, it was hard for me to even get out of the house, much less do a backside 180. It took me a bit to understand what was going on, but eventually I learned I had anxiety. Now I'm getting help for it and feeling so much better. Sure, some days are better than others, but the whole thing about getting out of the house, that's not really an issue anymore.
Mental health care is working. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, the Board Lord Calvin, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. We're joined every Friday at this time with Dan Schaefer and the recombobulation area. We were talking a little bit earlier about the two referendum on the April 2nd ballot. And Dan, you were saying that we should vote no on both of those.
Vote no on both. Read the piece at the recombobulation area to get all of my thoughts about why, but they're going to be important elections up and down the ballot in every community across the state of Wisconsin. And there are going to be important conversations to be had about all of those, but this is one that is going to be on the ballot statewide. So no matter where you are listening from across the state of Wisconsin, these two referendum questions will be on your ballot. So vote no, don't appease election deniers by amending the state constitution. Vote no. Let's get this done in the legislature next session.
As Robin Voss himself says, they're morons and they're stupid.
Just do it. Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's talk a little basketball. And Pewaukee grad Jack Golke.
Pewaukee grad Jack, the unlikely hero of the first day of the NCAA men's basketball tournament, which kicked off yesterday. Jack Golke, fellow Pewaukee grad. So I don't know how many of your listeners know this. I went to Pewaukee High School. And so a guy who I definitely heard of before yesterday is now our hero, our hometown hero. Made 10 threes, scored 32 points to help lead Oakland University to upset number 3 seed Kentucky in the NCAA tournament. What a rumor. I don't always watch that much college basketball anymore. I'm a huge NBA fan, as you all know. But this is why the tournament is great, because you get dudes like Jack Golke who will go out and just rain threes on future NBA talents in the University of Kentucky and can lead that upset. What a moment.
It was quite delightful, actually, to see Kentucky fall, because they're always way up there, which is always annoying, at least to me. And the school that Golke goes to that's not a powerhouse, is it?
No, I think it's I think it might be the first NCAA tournament win in the school's history.
Oh, wow.
For Oakland, which is not.
I like the way you keep saying for Oakland.
Yeah, for Oakland, which is not the, not Bay Area Oakland. This is a school based in Michigan. It's in the same conference as the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. So
go Panthers.
That's right. But this is pretty cool. There's actually two Pewaukee grads playing in the NCAA men's tournament this year. There's also a player playing for Iowa State as well. So it's quite the moment for my alma mater. The high school group chats were blowing up last night when Golke was raining threes, and now he's never going to have to pay for a meal at the 5 o'clock club again. He's gonna be selling houses in Deer Haven based on this. This game will pay for a pontoon boat on Pewaukee Lake.
Do you know how fast you were going? Do you know who I am?
It's interesting though how we glom onto that shared glory. It's like, yeah, I went to That's school right. with him. I'm the one who shot those shots. Yeah. I know, aren't I great? That's right. I'm so great.
That's right. I graduated, more than 10 years before this guy was ever in high school, but fellow Pewaukee grad.
It's your glory too. It's your glory too, Dan Schaefer. Absolutely. Speaking of basketball, tonight, Wisconsin versus James Madison, and that's going to be at 7:30. You can catch the game on locally grown radio, WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids. And also news from the center, WRCE in Richland Center. That game is tonight. Wisconsin against James Madison starts at 7:30.
We got a live stream comment here from Scott from St. Louis. He said, a friend of mine who works for Adobe made two brackets a few years ago, one based on stats, one based on logo design. Stat bracket with 40th percentile, logo bracket was 90th. Wow. And as they said, as we found out earlier this week, to pick a perfect bracket, you have a 1 in 9.2 quadrillion chance.
You know, there was one year, my wife doesn't watch much college basketball. I had her fill out a bracket one year, and she decided her strategy was to pick all of the states that are not states. So it was like Kent State or whatever, all of us. She's like, I like that. So, and for whatever reason, like a bunch of those teams won, and then she was in like the top 1% of brackets on ESPN that year because of her state strategy. So you can watch all of the college basketball you possibly can, but that's what's great about the tournament. You know, it can anything can happen.
And Tony Lone Tree on the live stream also says, don't forget Marquette. You're right, Tony. Thank you. Marquette plays today at 1 p.m. So, and Tony thinks Marquette's going to go farther than the Badgers.
That's what I'm hearing. People are. There's not a lot of expectation from the Badgers. They feel like they're going to go like maybe the next
so far and then
yeah, and then they'll be done because you know they before they got to the tournament they were losing pretty hard.
They had a good run in the Big Ten tournament though. Yeah. They had that win over Purdue, right? Eric Hovde's favorite team, Purdue. I don't know if you saw that.
Oh yes.
Let's talk about that.
You guys talked about this yesterday?
No, yep. we didn't get around to it. I know Pat Kreitler talked about it this morning. What an interesting thing for Eric Hovde to do. He's running against Senator Tammy Baldwin in Wisconsin, and he picks Purdue. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. And Purdue, I think he picked Purdue to beat Wisconsin.
It's right? almost like Eric Hovde doesn't get it or Wisconsin.
Well, and it's just like I thought some people playing it off. Oh, it's like, oh, he knows college basketball. So he's a real fan. So he's not just pandering. It's just, I don't know.
No, you pander. This is where you pander.
Yeah, this is, it's just, I don't know. But you know who actually did really well in the bracket as a politician bracket? You know who picked Oakland to beat Kentucky?
Who?
Kamala Harris.
Did she really?
She's just walking around. Walking around the East Wing right now going, that's right.
Yeah. See, she gets to celebrate that one today. What? We'll see if Kamala does better than Eric Hovde.
I do find it interesting that people are applauding Eric Hovde for his knowledge of basketball. I mean, okay, great. He knows how to make picks. Let's elect him.
Yeah.
And what could go wrong? That's the perfect basis for choosing someone to represent you in Washington.
Yeah. I don't know that much about college basketball, but I know enough to know that Purdue has just like is like the most grating team to watch in the Big Ten. And they just have like one giant 7-footer who gets fouled all the time. And the only way they can win is by kind of bending the rules in their favor, which maybe makes sense for a Republican to pick them to win.
Dang. On that note,
Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area. Subscribe. It's award-winning. It's wonderful. And it's a steal. Thank you so much, Dan. We will see you next Friday. Stay with us. News is next, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW.
Monday on Nightlight, I welcome Capital Times entertainment reporter Rob Thomas. It's Nightlight, 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mino and the Mayor.
You might remember this, Mr. Mayor. It was the first St. Patrick's Day parade in Green Bay going down to the city deck. You were in a wagon, and then the bagpiper and me were in front. I said to the bagpiper, "We got to stop right here in this tunnel and play Amazing Grace." And then I see the mayor stand up in the wagon going, "Get it moving! Get it moving!"
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.